The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do this or
I don't know
what's going on here.
Yeah. All right, you want to stick around, Susie?
Yeah, because it's fun.
I think you should.
We're having a good time.
I'm having fun. Should.
There is a story in the paper today. Another story about clothing, higher end clothing,
oh, yeah.
Right. And how it's
top
just,
shelf.
It's done.
So
top shelf.
That was the. The Care 11 anchor.
Majors.
That was his spot.
That was,
right?
That was my setup. I heard a top shelf in the 90s because of Majors.
Me too.
Because Majors would get all his clothes custom there.
He looks so good, man.
And he looked great. That's when the shoulder pads are loser, right? And Paul's a big guy already. Those shoulder pads looked like, you know, he was like 40 feet tall and great looking. Then my buddy, John Fitzgerald, started working for them, too. And I would go there. Fabulous place. Now, not inexpensive, but fabulous place. Right. And they point out the top shelf is reducing, moving to a new location. They point out how Hubert White shut down. Hubert White, legendary place. And other places, because a lot of people go to work not dressed as well as you. More dressed kind of like me. I've got a kind of a nicer sweatshirt on and some athleisure pants.
Like performance kind of material.
Yeah, so, well, because I'm an athlete. Yeah. You know, obviously. I mean, you never know my cat-like quickness.
True.
look at Trump. Look at Cook dressing
Cook dresses up.
But you want to, why? Because he's going to the ball game. He's going to the Twins thing today, and Dan's going to be there going.
Are you going, Jason?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
He's going to be a ball guy there, so he wants to dress up. I think he's wearing a bolo. I think. What do we think about that people don't dress up at all?
What do you think, Susie?
For work? What are your thoughts?
That's a tricky one, because I always think I should dress more professionally. And then when I go to Target and I walk through the Skyways, I see that 80% of people look kind of schlubby, you know, not really well put together.
I really was worried what word you were going to use there. I got
schlubby.
Yeah.
I meant like frumpy, kind of like dopey, dumpy. Point is, then every once in a while you would see somebody pop that's like got a style that is current.
By the way,
both women and men.
You can look stylish without wearing a sport coat.
For sure.
Or a suit or a nice dress or you know, business suit.
Right.
You know, and obviously. We talk about this constantly. We don't have many people down here working, right? So, you know, I know friends of mine who work at home and still get reasonably dressed up because it's just part of their protocol.
Also, isn't
they're just used to it.
Your mental space. I mean, if you are wearing sweatpants and a sweatshirt and you're an executive and you're trying to hold an executive meeting, to me, your sort of persona isn't matching what you're wearing.
So my wife dresses up for work. She has worked at home for 14, 15 years.
Wow.
I think that what we're seeing, and it's interesting that Top Shelf is shutting it down.
Yeah.
Because from what I've been told from a couple of guys I know at men's clothing stores, and also like I was talking about this with Andy, the guy who cuts my hair.
Yeah.
And Andy at work, he's a barber. Like you know, he's dressed casually, but he's like in his 30s and he is dressing up to go out. So like going out to dinner, he'll put on like a nice, like a sport coat or a suit or something because it's like we have no opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I am seeing like a bit of a resurgence in like guys wanting to get dressed up, but it's so small as an overall portion of the population.
Well, that's me because we go out occasionally. I dress normally. Half the time I dress pretty casual here. But let's say if I'm going out,
I'll dress up good.
I'll dress up nicer. Yeah.
But it's also radio, so we're not compelled.
True.
To me.
But everyone dresses like radio people now. It used to be like a joke, like, oh, you guys look like you work in radio. And now you walk in the Skyway, like when you're kind of not paying attention to the Supreme Court case and going to Target, and you see everybody looks like they could be
she was digging.
A radio producer.
Can I go back to what Susie said? Because I think there's a divide in this. I personally, if it's not a Zoom, okay, for me, I think I can be as in tune with a business meeting or this show if I'm dressed casually. I do. But I have friends of mine who 1,000% agree with what you said. No, you can't. No, you can't. You have to act like you're there face to face. If you normally put on a suit or a business suit, do that.
I don't know. How do you feel, Jason? Do you feel more alert and intellectually honed in if you look one way? Like if you came in here with sweats on, would that pull your mood down?
Well,
I'm saying
more if you're at home, because I think that's the debate.
I would think.
Yeah, like I wouldn't put a suit on at home, right? But I will say, like last night, I had a charity event that I was hosting. I had a suit, and you stand up a little straighter.
Mm-hmm.
You have a little more swagger. I felt a little more powerful
in public. I agree with that.
Heels. I know women hate them. But wearing a pair of high heels or even a shoe with a bit of a heel totally amps your game up.
Yep.
Now, at home, if you're working at home.
I'm not going to wear heels.
Why would you dress up?
But so, I know. I have two
or
three friends of mine.
But if you're a manager, you need to put that's part of your image.
But I have friends who are just like Alyssa. And they do Zooms and sometimes they don't. And they just feel like, listen, this is what I've done for decades.
Yeah. Mm.
Even though now my company allows me to do this and they're pretty far up in the companies, they just like that. And they feel like that does make them a little bit more in tune.
Maybe,
And if it does for you, you do it.
And I do think you feel better when you're looking your best. I just think that's...
It's tough for some of these businesses that haven't been able to figure it out, but also like the world changes.
Yeah.
I think it's okay. I think it's okay, but I will say just personally, I do wish we had maybe a little more formality in our world.
Well, let's be honest, too. For you, it's you like it, and it's a part of your brand, you know, because of Instagram and maybe some clothing stuff. So it's both. You personally both. Believe in it.
Right.
And it also is profitable.
That's good for business.
For what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to pause here.
We do.
Yeah.
I just say... Eleanor Mondale, when she was still alive and we had our show, she always talked about how much her mother would dress them up to get on an airplane.
Yeah.
You know, and that
that's been the biggest change.
Right? You know, Pan Am. Yeah.
I see it with my kids, like two teenage boys, when they put on a suit, it's like a different human being.
Yeah.
Now, as you're an adult, maybe you figure out how to channel that energy without the clothes, but clothes help.
How you work until 5:30 today?
Yeah.
Will you stay in the building until 5:30?
My friend's coming to town from up north, from Two Harbors, Nancy, and so...
So no, you're not. You will not be here until 5:30.
This is the start of my weekend. My friend's coming into town.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a factory. I didn't know that Chad was in charge of HR.
I wasn't mad. I was just curious.
Jeez.
I was curious.
We are union members of the American Federation of Radio and Television Artists and SAG-AFTRA. So I am committed to working an eight-hour shift.
Yeah.
But I don't always reach that goal every time.
Oh, say, can you see?
WCCO Radio, the building of America with all of our blowers.
America wants no part of this building, I can assure you that.
With all of our heat blowers in the hallway.
Things are going great.
It's beautiful.
Hit the button. It's very dramatic.
Oh, you already missed the car wash reference.
It's over already?
Yeah, you were
right off.
You were too busy yapping.
I heard it because
complaining
I can hear
about everyone.
Things in different ears. It's no problem.
Yeah. Who do we got here?
Some guy called Luna. the song's called Car Wash. Hair. Yeah.
Well, Dan knows him. Dan's a telescope guy. Is Dan bringing the telescope to the Diamond Awards?
You know, I love that people have their passions.
I do too.
And
I love that people make fun of my passions, too. And I love Dan.
It is funny. Like, I'll come to work, and he'll, like, show me some video of, like, Mars behind the moon. And I like some people show like pictures of their kids, of their pets. Dan shows me pictures that he took from his telescope.
By the way,
it's great.
98% of the folks who said this is Mars, this is Jupiter, you know what I want to say? Prove it.
Yeah. Could be a dust speck on the camera lens.
How do you know? Oh. How do we really know? You know, there was some crazy stuff happening in the sky last night.
We can actually tell you how we really know. Like, this, what an absolutely ridiculous line of commentary from you. What do you mean, how do we know? Are you like, what is life?
The neighborhood guy who's got the normal telescope is not showing me precise.
They got the apps
is
now.
Not precisely like, showing me where Jupiter is.
Yes, they know.
I think he
Come
is.
On. I think you're out of here.
They've paid attention to the Hubble. Hubble lets us know.
Get out of here. Get. I mean,
there's a lot of apps. You follow along. There are Facebook groups.
That's cheating.
Nerds.
That's cheating. If you're using the app, I want you.
Oh, you just did a genuine space chart.
I want you to chart it like old school.
Yeah.
You know. You're just right there.
I used to know this stuff. You know, I had an astrolabe as a youngster.
Excuse me. What did you have?
Yeah. Astrolabe. Look it up.
Is that like a goiter?
Protractor. I had like a kind of a viewing lens hooked up to a protractor. Oh yeah.
You really were a nerd growing up, weren't you?
Somewhere in the archives of the Rocky Mountain News, there is a front page photo of me with the astrolabe at the National Science Olympiad competition. And it's as nerdy as you would think.
I love it. It's fantastic.
Look at me now.
Right. I mean, all I know is we had Rocco Baldelli in studio yesterday. We got 4 seconds of him, and then we got your whole show on YouTube TV.
How about that?
Yeah. You can check it out. Go to YouTube TV right now. No, YouTube, excuse me.
It's just the WCCO Radio YouTube channel.
Yeah.
We're experimenting a little bit. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I'd like to experiment and just put cameras in here permanently.
Well, let's look at this high-quality camera that we have ready to go.
How much quality show are we putting on this?
We spent $42 on a webcam, and we have two of them. Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about it. It looked good.
I checked it out. It did look pretty good. Okay, you're going to the Diamond Awards.
Yes.
This is...
If we can get in, I don't know.
Yeah, you might be too late.
3 o'clock.
Again, this is for Bob Allison and how he battled ataxia, and still a legendary figure in Twins history. And... really a staggering amount of money that has been raised for people who deal with ataxia research. Yeah. So it is a great cause. It is a huge weekend for the Twins. You know, Rocky did the media tour. We were part of it. Then you now have this. Then the Twins have their big luncheon Friday. And then Twins Fest starts. Oh. And it's tens of thousands of Twins fans descend upon Target Field.
Yeah.
And they absolutely love it. They love it. Are there... pointed questions to general manager, owner, manager, players? Sure. But more of it is, hey, there's Rod Carew, or there's Royce Lewis, or there's, you know, Torrey Hunter. So it's good stuff. So today...
it's something about baseball, right? Something special about baseball compared to maybe other sports. And
100%.
Other sports do their things, but I don't think anybody gets their fans kind of up close with the players in this sort of environment. Is there anything even comparable? I don't think
so. No, you've nailed it.
And every team does this. Every Major League Baseball team. I think the Twins do spring training with maybe a little more access than a lot of the teams do now.
I do. Listen, I'm never reluctant to offer up criticism to Twins when it's just, and I did yesterday.
Yeah.
But this part of what the Twins do, they do it very well.
It's pretty cool.
They do it very well. And it gives people... access, and Dave St. Peter, who is leaving soon, has been tremendous at keeping that tie to the alumni players, and he deserves a lot of credit for that. So you're going over. The tough thing about, we were talking about this off-air a little bit, you really don't know who's going to be there, what time.
Because the event itself is like at 6:30 or 7. But last year we got Royce Lewis, who came over at 5:30, was on the show. So we'll have one of their award winners, and it should.
For sure. And you'll do the regular show, too.
Do the regular show.
Yes.
I mean, what's going on? There's nothing.
Yeah, there's just a couple of things happening.
I don't know.
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
Part of what's happening is
One of the five best players in the National Hockey League is coming back, Kirill Kaprizov. It's been a month since he last played, and he's back tonight along with their captain, Jared Spurgeon, the man in charge, the boss, Bill Guerin, is a regular on this show. He's good on hockey. He's better on everyday life. So Bill Guerin, always entertaining. He's next. All right, flights are flights. And Billy's flight was supposed to land, what, an hour ago? But it happens. Did the pilot realize he was coming on the show? Or is the pilot a big Common fan and is trying to deny us, I guess?
Might be a big Avs fan or, you know, Canadians. I don't know.
Could be. If we get Billy, great. If not, maybe we'll try for tomorrow. Guerin is excellent when he's on with us. This story, if you want to feel good about society, and there are many reasons, there are overwhelming amount of reasons every day to feel good about the decency of people. So a police officer, a gentleman named Richard Craig, he was at a bus crash during a snowstorm recently, and he noticed a pizza delivery man who was walking through the falling snow. And he was out of breath, and it was just, it was really hard. And it's a 20-year-old. This is in Indiana. And he had learned that this individual, Craig Stefanoff, had walked more than a half mile from his car to complete a $40 pizza delivery because the road was blocked due to the crash. So this guy's driving there to deliver his pizza. And instead of just going back, saying, you know, I can't get through, or just waiting, he's like, no, this is my job.
Somebody's hungry.
Somebody's hungry. I'm going to do it. And this is when he's walking back now. Did you get a good tip? He got $2. He walked this far in the snow because a crash occurred. And he got $2. So the police officer goes, made me angry. The area, according to the police officer, is a very affluent neighborhood. He said he didn't consider any other option but to brave the snow. By the way, he was wearing sneakers, sweatshirt, no jacket, no boots. So in other words, he's a typical 20-year-old dope who doesn't think he should dress up in any way for the outdoors.
How do you get affluent, by the way? You just don't tip anybody. Keep the money for yourself.
I guess.
How do you think you afford that house?
So the officer posted this video on TikTok, and people were outraged. So then he decides to make a GoFundMe campaign. He set the goal. The officer did $500. That'd be
pretty
amazing.
Good. After the, by the way, the officer gave him a few bucks, too.
He did.
Opened his wallet, and I think it was like $15. And here, go get him, buddy.
As of this story, $30,000.
Unbelievable.
Have poured in. $30,000. We're also seeing the president behind you signing a flurry of new executive orders with the big signature.
Presidential Sharpie.
Yep. Signs an order to make U.S. a crypto leader. That's good. I wish I understood crypto better. I wish I would have put some money in about a year ago on crypto. How about that meme coin? Can we all just throw a meme coin out there?
Everyone can have one. Trump can have one. Melania can have one.
I mean, do they all, at one point, are they all worth $58 billion? That would be, that'd be pretty good. So, you know what? What a great gesture that was by this individual. Let's do this. Let's just squeeze in a 1 minute break.
1 minute. We can do 1 minute.
1 minute. Then we probably take Billy Redford at the top, right? And then we'll be good. Billy Guerin, Wild, president of hockey operations, and GM is next. All right. No Billy open because we want to get right to him. We have 11 minutes. Billy Guerin is here. You just landed. What kind of flyer is president of hockey operations, Bill Guerin?
I'm good. Yeah. I mean, just like most people, I don't love turbulence, but.
Yep. Are you a talker?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Somebody sitting next to you?
Nah, I don't know. So I go in and out of that. I
I'm okay. Like, sometimes I am, but mostly not. Mostly I just want to watch my movie or, you know, sleep or whatever, but I'm not.
Somebody.
I'm not the biggest talker. Okay. Like, but I will. I will.
If somebody's talking your ear off, are you willing to say, I have to get back to my work? Or what's your move at that point?
Just talk.
You'll just you'll suck it up and you'll just keep talking.
I don't know. If they don't, I don't know. I put my headphones on or something, but I don't know. I try not to be a Chad Hartman.
Oh, thanks.
You know.
Thanks a lot. That'd be kind of tough, Dave, if all of a sudden you're talking to Billy and he puts the headphones on, he starts pointing at these. See?
Yeah.
See?
You'll hear that line in the next bill open.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
thanks a lot. You've now provided Dave with an open.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
What I'm here for.
Yeah. You now get, and we don't even have to go imminent because your coach has confirmed it. You get two stars back tonight. You get one of the five best players in the game back, and you get your captain back. Jared Spurgeon and Kirill Kaprizov are back. Take me through the injuries and the process to tonight when they're returning for two vitally important guys.
You know, Kirill's has been just kind of, you know, like, There was not one thing. It's a little more wear and tear issue and just tough to really nail down, but did get some treatment on it and worked hard at strengthening it. And, you know, Spurgey's, we all know what happened to Spurgey. But, you know, again, it takes time. The people that are frustrated the most are the players, and they want to be out there, you know, with their teammates, and you know, they'll get that opportunity again tonight. So we're really excited.
There was some conjecture that if, let's say, this was the playoffs, with Kaprizov in particular, that he could have potentially played earlier, but the organization felt like, why do we want to risk this? We know how great he is when he's healthy, so we're not going to push this in any way. Is that a fair assessment?
You know what? We don't really... It's not the organization saying, we think this is what we're going to do. You know, we talk to the players. We do this. It's their career. It's their body. Like, if they want to try to muscle through something, that's up to them. But, you know, our training staff and our medical staff, the doctors give, you know, the advice that, you know, they're paid to give. And, you know, but the players are a part of it. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. They are a part of this. This is not done just strictly by the team.
John Hines, your head coach, and Bill Guerin, president of hockey operations, kind enough to join us. He's with us on a regular basis throughout the season, and we greatly appreciate that. John had some quotes about that when Kirill comes back, maybe there can be some subtle differences to whether the approach, play. I was a bit confused. Can you tell me what he's alluding to there?
I have no idea what he's alluding to.
Yeah. I mean, do you...
I guess if I heard more of the quote. Like, I don't know. Give me a little more and I'm gonna
look it up.
Because, I'll be able to make something up real quick to...
Yeah. I'm gonna look it up, or Russo, if you're listening, you need to text me. But I know I saw it, and I'll find it, and I'll get back to it. Your kid that you drafted, Juracek, who came over in the number one draft choice,
traded for him.
Yeah, he traded for him.
Yeah,
he had some good moments, including a fabulous setup recently. But you're now healthy. You got cap issues. You sent him back. What did you like about him, and what does he need to continue to do to get back here as soon as possible?
Yeah, I mean, we were really happy with him. I think he kept getting better and better, and I love his confidence, his ability to move the puck and make some plays. That's really what he is. I think because of his size, a lot of people think he's just going to be like this big shutdown D.
No, he's a skilled guy. He's a puck-moving guy. He's got a great shot. He's going to be able to produce at some level. So we were really happy with that part. He, like I said, kept getting better. It's just the details in his game, you know, the finer details of going back and retrieving pucks under pressure, where we need him to be on the ice in the defensive zone at certain times. But he picked it up real quick, and we all feel like he got better every game. We're really happy with him. But, you know, getting Spurge back, you know, we're healthy on the right side now. There's no sense of keeping him here, sitting him out. Let's keep him playing and, you know, play big minutes in Iowa. It's better than sitting in the stands here.
Speaking of Iowa, you brought up Ogren, and we talked about him before when he was having early success down in Iowa, and you said, listen, when we call him up, we want him to be a factor. We want him to ideally, as you said a little bit here with the defenseman, we want him to stay. What have you thought about Liam's play the last couple of games?
I didn't love his game against Nashville, but I think that was kind of a crazy atmosphere for him to come into. There was a lot of tension before that game, I think. There was a lot of just outside noise. So that he was just okay in that game, but I thought he was leaps and bounds better you know, against Colorado. I thought he was really good. He had a nice assist and contributed offensively, and I thought he was much better. So hopefully he can continue to grow.
The last time we talked, it was a little bit after when it was a cheap shot against Jared Spurgeon, and you offered the quote, and I didn't disagree, and obviously you know this way better than me. You said dirty play by dirty player. So then when you match up with Nashville, what happens? Fight, fight, fight. Where do you stand on that, on balancing, we're going to defend our guy, along with we don't want to get sidetracked, and the main reason why we are here is we're here to win the game?
Where do I stand on that?
Yeah, I mean, can teams go too far in getting distracted?
They can get distracted. I just don't think we played well. I mean, I think we can – the players can do what they feel they need to do and win the game as well. We just didn't play well. I think they took care of what they needed to take care of on the other side of it. But, look, I've been there, and you know – I know from a player's point of view, if you don't do anything, you don't feel like you've done enough. And I've got no problem with that.
Did they do enough?
Yeah, they did.
Where are we at with Gus and his health and his play?
His health is good. His play is... it's good. It can, you know, he can be better. I think he knows that, and I know he knows that. But yeah, he can definitely be better. It's just, you know, he's been steady. It's just needing that timely save, you know, and you know, he had that for a while last little bit. We had, like I said, steady, just not like outstanding. Or timely, and I think that will come back.
Is there any chance you think, and you face Utah tonight at home at the X? This is Bill Guerin, runs the Well. Is there any chance Marc-Andre Fleury plays next year?
I don't think so, but he hasn't mentioned anything, so it's not really for me to say right now. I just haven't talked to him.
Would you leave that up to him to broach that subject at all, or would you potentially do that at some point?
It's not my decision. It's not – those are very personal things, and they're family decisions. And that's for him and his wife to discuss, not me.
How much of your time, and I'll finish on this, we've got about 30 seconds. How much of your time is on the upcoming tournament, which is a huge deal, and you're the general manager for that? compared to the Wild? How do you balance those two when we're getting so close to four nations?
It's pretty good balance. I mean, the team's picked. We're just doing kind of logistical stuff right now. It's not crazy. It's good. It's not insane. I just, you know, it's good.
Always a pleasure, sir. I'm glad your flight went well, and we'll talk in a couple weeks.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for being patient.
No problem. Billy Guerin with us. Interesting quick note. The president, taking questions from reporters, said Joe Biden made a big mistake by not pardoning himself. Where does that go? Interesting.